Hey folks, welcome. Susan Baracco here. Happy Thursday. Welcome to the call. Please do type in the chat just to confirm that you can hear me. Want to make sure that I'm coming through for you. And welcome everybody. Hey Eric, thank you for that. And hello Monica. Thanks to both of you. And Catherine, thank you, ma'am. Deb, Francis, you're here. Thanks. Francis, great to see you again. Great to have you back. Who else have we got? I think that's everybody that's on the call right now. And while we're waiting, I want to give just another minute or so for people to join us on the call today. And while we're waiting for that, type in the chat. And we have our Just for Fun question. And this is kind of interesting. I'm always interested because this is such an eclectic group that we have here on the coaching calls and in the different programs. And it's always interesting to find out where people are, where they hail from. So if you feel like sharing, type in the chat and let us know where did you grow up, or you know what, where do you call your home? I guess would be your childhood home. And Deborah says Jackson, Tennessee, here in the U.S. Monica is St. Joseph, and that's Michigan. MI is Michigan, I think. Catherine, Seattle, Washington. And Eric is Moline, Illinois. So we've got kind of all over the U.S. And I'm from the Northeast originally. I grew up in Massachusetts, Central Mass. So... and now live in the lovely state of Maine, which has been my home for over 20 years and love, love, love it. So wonderful. Fun. Well, we've got a nice group of people on the call today. Thank you all for taking the time to be here. I'm excited to chat with you today and hear what you have going on. So I'm going to dive right in. I'm going to start with wins. I would love to hear what's gone well for you in the last week or so. And if you would type in the chat a capital W so that I know that it's a win, and anything that has gone your way in the last few days, the last week or two, anything that's really just something you're feeling good about, let us know. All right. Quiet group today. There's got to be something exciting out there going on. I know you guys have been having wins. All right. Well, I'm going to move us on then to what material you're implementing. So where are you in the B2B Launcher program? Let us know. Let us know what you're working on, what you're maybe you're experimenting, trying some different things with warm email prospecting. Maybe you're trying some different techniques or different approaches. Definitely let us know what you're working on right now. And Eric, thank you for that. Eric says, my first two clips went live this week, and one of them attracted a freelance writer to my website who asked me a question on some research he was trying to do. Great. So great news. Your website is up and running, and you're getting some traction. It's early yet because you said it just went. These clips went live this week, but you know what? The fact that they got some attention right off the bat—that's terrific. Good for you. Good for you. All right. Anybody got anything they're working on? And Eric says warm email prospecting. Good for you. Thanks for sharing. And, good for you. It's one of those habits. Warm email prospecting and regular prospecting is something to just a good habit to develop early and stick with it. All right. And Catherine says she's working on writing her web copy. Good for you. That's hard. That can be a challenge. Eric knows. He's been working on that recently. And Yeah, writing web copy, it's really challenging to write about yourself and do it in an effective way. So, Monica says you're in the final stages of getting hired for a job. Congratulations. You'll be doing writing, but not copywriting. That's okay. That's terrific. Would love it if you kept us posted and up to date on that in the Facebook group, because that's really exciting stuff. And Eric says, yes, it's hard work, website copy. And I know I say this in my website reviews, is that website copy is an evolving thing. So getting your website up and going and then tweaking it over the course of months and years even, is perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. It's getting as close to good as you can get and getting it up and running so that you can start attracting eyeballs. Right. Well, I am going to move us along to the question segment. And I know, Eric, you submitted a question first prior to the call. That was the only one that I saw that was submitted. But what I want to encourage you to do is type in with a capital Q anything that you're struggling with, would like some feedback or help on. Keep it focused and specific. We've got a fairly small group today, so I can definitely, if you have more than one question, that's fine, but I'll answer one at a time for you and then come back to you if no one else has anything submitted. And then really like to hear what it is that you're thinking about, what you're considering in terms of addressing the issue. And Aura, I see that you've joined us. Welcome. Dan, also glad you're here. And John, welcome. And then someone on the phone, that might be Deb, I think, because that's a 603. I think that's Deb. I don't see your name, just your phone number, but that's okay. So welcome if that's you. All right. And while you folks are thinking about questions that you might want to ask, I am going to go ahead and read Eric's question. And he writes, should I put my master's degree in chemistry from UC Berkeley on my homepage? It's not currently there, but it is on my Why Me page. To put the question another way, will B2B clients be impressed by a master's or will they be turned off, thinking I may be snooty or too academic or maybe even too expensive? Good question. Good question. And Eric, I'm hoping you can talk. I'm going to unmute you. Hello there, Eric.
Hello.
Thanks for submitting the question. I know you've been working on your website, and I think this is a good question. What I'd love to understand is you're asking if people will be turned off potentially by it. And so what I'd like to understand is a little bit more about your audience. Just tell me a little bit more about who they are and what their role is within the organization, who you'll be calling on.
What I'm looking at now, I've honed in on biotech, scientific instruments, and renewable energy. And what I've heard from Carol Tice is that marketing managers are the people I want to be targeting in those companies.
Okay.
And I don't know much about marketing managers.
And I can't answer that off the top of my head either, as far as knowing much about them. I think what would make sense, I liked the way your website was laid out. I just had a chance to review it and then take a second look as well. So I think you're in good shape with your
I
landing.
do like it the way it is right now, but this is the landing page, so I'm inclined to leave it
I
the
would
way it
recommend
is.
that you do. So I have a little inside information. I've already looked at it. So I like it. I think you're fine. And I like the fact that you include that information in your Why Me section because it's an important part of who you are. And the thing that I would recommend, though, Eric, as I think about this, is to do a little bit of research and see, I guess, take a look at a couple of your targets, maybe pull them up on LinkedIn and see if they have their education listed. As far as, because a lot of people do, when you go on LinkedIn, you see their profile, sometimes they'll, they put down that they have a master's or a bachelor's degree and where they attended. It might make sense to play around with that a little and see what you find. Because if you're seeing a lot of master's degrees, then that might change my suggestion to you here. You know, I'd say leave your website as is for now and just dive in and start doing your prospecting and reaching out to people. But over the course of time, you may find, as you start talking to some of these people and actually engaging them in conversation, you might find that master's degree has got more value than you're thinking. That it's probably it's more of a positive than a negative, that it won't be a turnoff. And that's what I suspect will happen, but I would want you to kind of test the waters, I guess would be my suggestion there. See how it goes, see what kind of response you get.
And by the way, the only specific area where I've been recommended against putting a degree is right there in your name. So like Eric Anderson, MS.
Yes, 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 yes. I agree.
That's, I think, putting it too far forward.
That's a little too, it feels a little pretentious to me.
Sure, sure.
You know, I would be nervous about that because you just don't know yet until you dive in and get some experience. Have you had a chance to start talking with any potential prospects yet, or are you not that far along?
Not that far along. I've sent out, I think, 5 warm emails and haven't heard back yet.
Okay.
So I haven't had a chance to talk.
Well, it'll be interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
It will be. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. Great. Great. Okay. Well, good luck. Definitely keep us posted on the Facebook group. Let us know how that works. But I think it's going to be a bit of testing for you right now just to see, is that important or not? And just how important. I think you may even find that it's a split, that some people just don't care, and some people are very intrigued. And that would be an extra value point that would be a good selling point for you. So I think until you dive in and start talking to people, you're not really going to know.
Right.
Awesome. Well, thank you for asking the question and submitting that. I appreciate it. And good luck. And please do keep us posted on Facebook so we know what's what. All right. So question time. Who said that? Question time. I think that was from a kid's show. Anyway, type in a queue and please post a question. We've got a nice group of people on the phone today, and I have no doubt that you've probably got some questions about either what you're working on in the program, what you're trying to implement in your business right now, as you're putting things into play. Feel free to ask questions. Now is the time. And I don't see any more submitted right now, so don't be shy. Sometimes I have another group that I work with Ed, where I struggle to get through all the questions before the end of the call, because they have lots of questions and they're eager to have them answered. And I definitely encourage you to speak up and share your thoughts and questions, anything that you might be struggling with. And I see Karen. Oh, no, Karina. Karen, sorry. Your name is all one word. Karen has joined us. Thanks for being here, Karen. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello there. Oh. All right. Great. Oh, Eric says, whatever your question may be, I'll probably want to hear the answer to it. So I'll encourage you to ask. I agree, Eric. I am always pleasantly surprised on these calls when someone asks a question that they think might be really specific to them, like, oh, I don't know if anybody else is going to want to hear this. And then I get in the chat, people just kind of open up and say, oh my goodness, I was thinking the same thing. And many, many people will chime in and say, yeah, I went through that, or, you know, I was feeling the same way. You're certainly not alone in what you're thinking, whatever you might be struggling with right now. So feel free to pop in a question. All right. Eric's going to be my go-to guy today. So thank you, Eric, for putting that in. Just submitted a question on choosing companies for sending warm emails. I'm aiming for the niches of biotechnology, scientific instruments, and renewable energy. I'm wondering how to go about choosing companies to go after in these areas. I started looking at biotech startups, but they seem to be small and not likely to have much of a marketing budget. I agree. And startups can be really hit or miss. Sometimes they're a bit of a risk, something to work with, someone to work with, perhaps once you've had your business up and running, maybe get it established and get some momentum for yourself. But I wouldn't necessarily start there. That feels a little bit too risky to me in terms of startups and having, they're having unstable budgets as well. So just be mindful of that. So I think what I will do, let me just find you again, Eric. I'm going to bring you on. Hi there.
Hi.
So my thought on this is to look for companies that are big but not too big. And I'm wondering, are you looking at some of the bigger companies right now? Have you targeted them, or is it just mostly been on the startup end of the scale?
So I after I had that thought that these startups may not be big enough, I did look at a handful of the really big companies, and I didn't find the sort of marketing materials that a business copywriter or content writer would probably be writing, at least on their main sites.
Okay.
And these, you know, these were the behemoths, like the, like, I don't remember the names, but you know, like the top three biggest biotech companies on Wikipedia, that kind of thing.
So for me, I'm thinking about, and normally, especially when you're first getting started, is looking for a company that might be, I guess, small. I wouldn't start with super small because they might not have a budget to support or even recognize that they need the kind of support that you offer. That can definitely be a challenge. But looking for a company that maybe has 50 employees or more, or maybe 100 or more. So start segmenting the companies you're targeting by their, literally by their size. So maybe 100 to 500 employees. That's a nice size company that may or may not have their own marketing team, but really are getting sophisticated enough in their thinking that they're realizing, you know what, we want to do more marketing and we want to do it well. So that would be, I think, a good place to start for you. And there's a couple of ways that you can do that. You can look at companies on web type tools like Glassdoor and some of the other profiling companies out there, websites that profile businesses. The other place would be LinkedIn, my all-time favorite of tools, to just look and see if they have a company page. And if it's listed, you can get a sense of how big they are. And look for, and then you can actually look at their employees through their company page to see if there's any titles of marketing manager. So it's a good place to do your research as well. So the mid-sized companies, I think, would be a really good place to start in any of these. But don't discount the really big ones. You just never know. They may need support too, even though they might have an in-house marketing team. They still might outsource the actual writing piece. So they might have more marketers who are true marketers as opposed to writers. So that would be my suggestion, is to kind of shoot for that middle size, maybe 100 employees, maybe up to 500 employees, see what that's like, see what that fetches for you, you know, what you unearth in that segment. And then grow from there, go up. And I would continue to go up. Pick a couple companies in every segment and start emailing them, start reaching out, and see what comes up. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, yeah. I'm just taking a note of that.
No problem. All right. Well, thank you. And Francis, next question is from Francis. Thanks so much for submitting the question. His question is, he's looking for a source of trigger events. If you follow a lot of companies on LinkedIn, every time there's a development in one of those companies, it will go into your feed. Is this a good source of trigger events? Absolutely. It's an easy place because you can go and pick the companies you choose to follow. And that way, just those updates, if you will come into your newsfeed. So you'll receive information just about those companies that you're most interested in. One of the things I would recommend is if you see something like that, to take that bit of information and use it as a means or a reason to reach out to someone within that company if you haven't already established a connection with them, to just congratulate them or make some kind of a meaningful comment saying, wow, this looks like a terrific opportunity for your organization. Just making some meaningful comment or insight, just adding something to that and using that even in your warm email prospecting, as you could even mention it, embed a link in a warm email that goes back to that announcement on LinkedIn and says, hey, saw this announcement on LinkedIn, and then maybe add some comments in an actual warm email. That's a terrific source of trigger events. That, and if they have any kind of news, it's just on a regular basis. If they have a news page on their website, is a good place to frequent and check in and see what's going on. Or set up Google Alerts. If you're familiar with Google Alerts, they're pretty easy to set up, and it's just typing, you would add in the name of the company that you want to be notified about, and you put their name in if it's more than one word, you would put their name in quotes so that it looks, that the alert looks specifically for that set of words, and it'll notify you, send you an email. Every time something anywhere on the internet comes up about that company, it sends you an email. So those Google Alerts are cool and they're free. So definitely a great tool to use if you're looking for reasons to reach out to people. I hope that helps. Monica, thanks for your question. Monica says, I really don't have a list of prospects, rather like Eric's. I'm writing for HR. So is this like search in LinkedIn somehow to get a list? I've been a consultant for years, but the teams I work with are gathered for a specific project and then dispersed to work on another. So these relationships last as long as the project, and then everyone moves on. All right. Monica, I'm going to unmute you, Monica. Hello there.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good, thanks. I think you answered my question by answering Eric's about, you know, the size of the company and all of that stuff.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about writing for HR. Is this something, I know you said, you know, your project's kind of, you build that temporary relationship for the length of the project. But is this changed for you, or are you still focusing on those types of projects?
Actually, this job I'm looking at now will be full-time, so it won't be consulting, so that will be a different aspect of how I've worked for years.
Okay.
Excuse me. But my copywriting, I'd like to focus on writing for HR or HR companies or mm-hmm. somebody that's implementing for HR. There's a big gap between saying we're going to implement this software throughout my entire company and all we focus on is the IT side of things versus how it actually impacts the users and how HR really, their lives really change.
Gotcha. Yep.
And so I'm looking at focusing more on, you know, the employee who ultimately should be organization's most important asset, but oftentimes is not.
Mm. Well, you know what's interesting? I actually did a bit of writing for a payroll company. So you might want to expand your thinking a little bit and focus on companies that provide HR services, that outsource that type of, that maybe they combine payroll with other service packages for slightly smaller companies. They do a lot of writing and they are constantly looking. I actually worked through I guess you could call them an agency. It was a rather large agency called Skyward. And I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that, but I wrote for a large payroll company for, gosh, a year, probably more, through them. So they had hired Skyward to help them manage their blogs and primarily blog blog type work. So, but that's a, there's a huge need for them to be constantly talking about, because of all the changes in human resources, they're just, it's a constantly moving target, right? HR is just, oh my gosh, every week there's a new rule, there's a new law, things have changed, and compliance wise and all of that. So there's so much to it. It's so technical. So I would recommend maybe expanding your thinking a little bit and looking at some of these payroll companies, even not the super large ones, but even maybe a step down. Same thing, start looking at company size and thinking, is there a payroll company in your area that's maybe regional, you know, something like that, and start looking at maybe approaching them.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much.
All right, good luck.
Thanks.
Great question. Appreciate that. Thanks so much for adding that. Any other questions? Please, please type in a queue. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know what you need help with. Anything that comes to mind that you'd been thinking about? I know that's one of the things that you don't want to limit yourself is once you get started, you really want to start on your core. So in other words, decide what you're targeting, to decide what audience you're targeting, and really focus on them and be consistent and focus on them. But then start to just think outside the box just a little bit, like one step off. Like if you're targeting HR, then start looking at things that are just related. Like HR companies, payroll companies, they need content. They're definitely, and so I think, Monica, that's a very strong area for you to start focusing on and see how that goes. All right. And Karen submitted a question. She's looking for suggestions for how to offer freelance writing services to airline industry trade magazines. Karen, I'm going to bring you on because I do have a question for you. Let's see if that worked. There you are. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Good. Thanks for the question. So just tell me a little bit about what you've been looking at. I mean, tell me what you've done so far to kind of explore this option or this avenue.
Well, I have this whole part of my writing life that is lifestyle, that I guess would fall under lifestyle writing or articles. And so what I noticed is that some of the topics that I'm interested in writing about, I see in, for example, I was on a plane with Delta, and their Delta magazine had a couple articles that I feel like I could have written. And so the idea that I'm generating is to pick the topics that interest me, for example, about leadership, I guess leadership wouldn't be so much lifestyle, but topics specific to something you'd find like in that magazine that you pull out of the rack when you're sitting on the plane waiting for it to take off.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's actually there's definitely a need for that, obviously, because they produce those magazines. I don't know how often they turn over. I don't know if it's monthly or more often or less. I'm not really sure. I typically don't pay a lot of attention to them when I travel. So I'm not not sure how frequently they turn over, but it might be worth taking a look at. You'd have to really dig down into an airline. Like if you went to delta.com, you'd have to really, I think, dig to see if you could find that out. The question is, would there be any contact information in that magazine itself? So in other words, you know how sometimes you pick up a magazine and the editor is listed in the front of the magazine and that kind of thing? So I'm curious to know. I know you were already on a plane, but if you're going again, it might make sense, or to find out if there's a place online where you can either on their websites where you might be able to get access to a copy of that so that you can potentially see if there's any contact information in there to reach out. Because that would be, again, and then just following that same typical chain of command is to go on LinkedIn and or on the website, LinkedIn probably, and see if you could find marketing Delta Airlines and marketing in the same, you know, in the same do a search on that and see what comes up, see what kind of people come up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the other thing is with that, if you find someone who works for Delta Airlines, you know, figure out where they're, you know, where they're headquartered. I'm not sure where their main headquarters is here in the US, but then find out, just reach, that's a great excuse to reach out to someone who's got a marketing title in their title, is to just say, hey, I'm interested in learning more about your trade magazines that you use on, you know, on your aircraft. Who would I talk to about that? Who would you recommend I talk to? Yeah, and Catherine says, I think Delta is based in Atlanta. So perfect. You know, look for that combination of Delta marketing Atlanta and see who's there in the corporate headquarters, right? Who might have marketing in their title. And then find someone that looks like, you know, read their job description, see what they've put in LinkedIn that gives you an idea of what they do every day. And then reach out to them and say, looking to learn more about your trade magazine and wondering who you recommend I connect with to get more information about writing, submitting articles. And people, you know, I would always use, when I do that kind of an outreach to someone, as I always use the word help, wondering if you could help me, because people like to help. So I always approach it in that way. It's wondering if you could help me, I'm interested in, and then go on from there and see what kind of response you get. But that's where I would start, and look at all different kinds of carriers. I'm not sure. Again, we've been talking a lot about company size today, and I'm not sure what's the cutoff. So how small, how small of an airline doesn't do that? Like, what size of an airline does a magazine, and what size doesn't? You know, what's kind of the cutoff? So, but you've got a few that you could talk to, certainly. And once you get an in with one, then you'll know how to approach the others.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Yeah, because I'm also along the lines of what you're saying, I'm also thinking that they probably have some type of internal newsletter or publication or internet that they provide to their employees also.
Absolutely.
So I'm guessing that if I write the right kind of content, that it might be something that they can use internally, as not just externally, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You just never know. And you don't know till you ask, you know, it's a good way to, but I think you've got some ideas anyway, for at least getting this started, getting it off the ground, and see where it takes you. And you might get in there and find out, geez, they've got a whole team. But I think where there's any place like in a blog or a magazine like that, where they're constantly looking for fresh ideas and fresh content, most companies are going to reach outside to have somebody provide that. So I think it's a smart thing to explore.
So then if they say something like, well, we get all of our contractors from Indeed or from Contently or something like that, then I can say, oh, well, I have a portfolio up on Contently. Here's my link, kind of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yep. Because I don't know if they would... You know, I don't know. I don't know the industry well enough. I don't know how they would go about finding a writer to produce something like this. I don't know if they would use something like Indeed or Contently, but it's worth, like I said, and if you have that, my number one recommendation is, if you've got your portfolio on your website, I'd send them there first. As opposed to that, but just, you know, or you could say, you could find my portfolio in either of these two places. But if they don't mention that kind of a service, then I wouldn't bring it up. It's better to have your portfolio on your own website, because you don't want to give them any ideas about, oh, well, I can shop around for a writer. You want them to say, hey, no, look at my website. Here's all my stuff. Call me when you're ready. So, you know, you want to kind of, if you get a response, you want to keep that momentum going for yourself. So.
Yep, that makes sense. Okay.
Great. Well, good luck. Thanks for the question. All right. Good question. John, thanks for submitting a question. He says, I'm finishing up my website. Is it better to put the website address at the top of the website or in the contact section. And John, hold on. I'm just going to bring you in because I have a, I'm not sure I completely understand. Let me see if I can find you. There you are. John, I don't see that you have audio available. It's not allowing me to unmute you. But my question, if you wouldn't mind, adding to your chat is, are you talking about the URL, your website address? I'm not quite clear on, you say the website address, does that mean your URL? I mean, once they're on your website, they're going to have access to your URL. I'm not sure it's necessary to put it anywhere else. And that's just, I'm not sure I'm clear on what you're asking. Are you thinking, did you mean your email address? Because right now it says a website address, and that's once they're on your website, they obviously will have that. So email address, yes. You definitely want to have your email address somewhere on the website. And I've seen it in a lot of different ways. Some people put them on, some people don't. I think that's kind of a personal choice, but putting your email address on does make it quick and easy for someone to reach out to you if they want to, once they've landed on your site. Some people prefer not to because of the whole, they don't want to start getting spammed. So putting their full email address. So sometimes people will actually put, instead of using the at sign, they'll use the word at, A-T, and space things out so that bots and things won't just find your email and stick you in somewhere and start spamming you. So, but that's, again, a personal choice. You could also use an email that maybe is just for that purpose. Maybe open a separate email that is just for to be located on your website. But I hope that I'm addressing it correctly. Oh, you said URL is what you mean. So the URL is already on, as I mentioned, you know, once they're on your website, they have your URL. So I'm not sure if I am clear on why you would want to put it on. I mean, if you feel that it's important to have the URL on there, you're certainly, I think that makes sense. But if they're already on your website, then they have access to it. So I'm not sure it's necessary to make it redundant, if you will, to have it show up there again. I hope that answers your question. All right. Eric says you haven't had any problems with spam. I haven't either, but that is, some people are concerned about that. So just something to keep in mind. And you've got it written regularly as a regular email. So, nope. All right. Any other questions? Anything else that I can help with? Anything else that you're struggling with or maybe just curious about? Anything that you're implementing that you might be unclear on? We've had some great questions so far in regards to types of companies to focus on and how to narrow your focus and what to consider. All right, Eric. Eric says, what would you say about deciding whether to pitch pro bono, full ed rate, or a lower rate? That's a really great question. And I think the answer to that is it depends. Depends on a couple of different things. And the first thing it depends on is how many clients you have right now, your workload. And if it's zero because you're just getting started, then that is obviously going to play a part. The other thing that it depends on is how important this client is. So if someone, you have a potential client that you're going to be meeting with, and it is just a really critical client that would really help boost your credibility, it would be really important to add to your portfolio, some samples from them, that kind of thing, then that's going to play a role as well, as to which way you go. I think the full rate is something that in your situation, I would maybe reserve for once you get a couple more clients. under your belt once you've got some momentum in your business. And again, very personal decision, entirely up to you. I would probably do something along the lines of combination. If it was a really important potential client, I really wanted to land the work, I would maybe mix pro bono with some sort of a rate, either a lower rate or maybe a medium, not full boat, but just say, look, I'll do this part for free of the project. Let me, you know, and prove myself, and then give another rate for it. And then if, especially if there's some kind of ongoing work, if it's not just a one-time project, you can mix and match. So it doesn't have to be all or nothing. You can kind of mix and match and say, look, I'll do this piece of it. I'll do one article for you pro bono so you get a sense of how I am to work with or my skill. And then anything after that, I'll give you, if you sign up for, you know, if you ask me to write 10 blog posts or 10 articles, then I'll give you a volume discount, so to speak, or you know what, because you'd be committing to that much more. So definitely be creative with your pricing in the beginning. And I would say mix it. Don't be all one or the other unless you really want the work. And pro bono for a couple of articles is perfectly fine. I've done that myself so that people can get a chance to, you know, I'll give you two articles or I'll give you one or two articles or something like that for so that we get to know each other and I can prove my value. I hope that answers your question, Eric. I hope that's helpful. Karen had another question. How important is having a social media profile for a writing business? It is very important. I would say that having a social media presence is critical, and having one that is polished, that is unified across all social media platforms, doesn't have to be elaborate. And doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to look like a multi-million dollar business. You just need to look professional and you need to look uniform. So if you're using a picture, for example, an image of yourself on LinkedIn, use that same image on all your other social media, or if it's a logo that you've decided on or something like that. So just be consistent across your whole social media platform. Because nowadays, you know, when I was teaching, I did a workshop that I traveled around the country and taught people LinkedIn. And part of the thing that I always used to talk about in these workshops is the fact that no one uses the yellow pages anymore, right? When was the last time you picked up the yellow pages? Where do you go to find anyone? Find a doctor, find a mechanic, find a hairstylist. I mean, you're going to go to either the internet or to social media to ask your friends. And this is something that, especially on Facebook, people would say, hey, I'm looking for, could you use your help looking for a really good mechanic? And they go to, and they put the word out to all of their friends and to their circle to see, you know, hey, I love this guy over on North Street, you know, go see him, tell him I sent you, kind of thing. So that's where referrals can come from. So social media has really changed the landscape for small businesses, especially for writers. So having a presence, again, I don't want you to be overwhelmed by it, but I think it is important to have at least LinkedIn and Facebook have a presence on those two as a writer, at least so that people can find you and that they see that you're active and reasonably active on Facebook and LinkedIn. Twitter is easy enough to add to that mix because you can post across all three platforms pretty comfortably. But yes, I would say that it's pretty darn important these days if you want to be found. You're more likely to be found through social media than you are for your website, especially in the beginning. And when you're first getting your website up and running from a search engine perspective, it's going to take a little while to get the trust of the search engines. It takes a while to get your website where it needs to be. And unless you have someone fabulous doing your SEO, which would be wonderful if you do, you might have better success more quickly. But social media is one of those places. The other thing to keep in mind, and another tidbit from the workshops I used to do, is if someone goes to Google or one of the other search engines and types in copywriter for whatever industry. What will happen is Google looks at everything on the internet, including LinkedIn and Facebook. So information about you will come up in those places in a Google search result. So, and LinkedIn, your LinkedIn profile almost always comes up in the top five results. So if they type in your name, if they happen to know your name and they're looking for you, if it's something where you've typed in your name or your business name, your LinkedIn profile will come up pretty much every time in the top five results on Google. So yes, it's kind of important to have a social media presence. And I hope that's helpful. Francis submitted another question. When you submit applications to a job board, does anyone actually read it? I have absolutely no idea, Francis, actually. I haven't had a lot of experience with job boards necessarily. And I think it's a matter of the job board that you use. I think it's a matter of the type of, again, it's another one of these questions where it depends. It depends if it's Indeed. Indeed has a pretty good reputation. It's a very active database for jobs. Most likely, if people are posting to Indeed, it's being looked at. And it really depends. If you're looking more at a job board like Fiverr or something like that, that's just for creative, more for creative people, Upwork or Fiverr, there it may feel like no one's reading it, but the competition might be a little greater on that platform simply because there's a lot more writers in particular that are using Fiverr and those types of platforms. So that would be another thing to consider, is where are you putting your information and how much competition is on that platform already for what you're doing or for what you're, how many of your competitors are out there. And that could be why it feels like just they're not reading it. They're probably reading it. They're probably looking at your response, but they're really being selective is probably the bottom line. Right. So Francis says, just like you go to Craigslist or Angie's List when you need a plumber, someone who needs a copywriter for a project might go to LinkedIn. Absolutely. And that's, I don't know if you're familiar with the ProFinder. ProFinder is a service. It's with a paid subscription to LinkedIn. That's starting to become a little more popular. I actually have that. I've signed up for that with mine. And what happens is that people post requests for writers. There's actually a category specific for writers. So writers and editors. So someone can go and post a need saying, hey, I've got, a resume I need edited and I need it in this amount of time. And if you have your profile set up so that those keywords show up, you've registered that way, that it'll be sent to you so you can take a look at it. You might try that, Francis. I'm not sure if you have a paid account on LinkedIn, you can try it for 30 days for free. So it might be worth setting that up and playing with that too as another option for looking for those types of roles, is to go through LinkedIn, and it's called ProFinder. So if you go and try, sign up for a paid account, you can play around with that for 30 days and then just cancel the account before it actually charges your card. So that's an option for you as well. All right. All right. Any other questions? Anything else that we can talk about today? Eric, thank you. Another question from Eric, and just adding on to the discussion about social media, how active is active enough? What sorts of posts should we be making? So for the place that most of you are in right now, where you're really starting to get a lot of different things off the ground for your business, there's lots of areas of focus. You're really trying to focus right now on warm email prospecting. You're trying to get your websites up and running. There's a lot of other things to be doing right now. And so that's where I would like to see you focus. And so for now, having a social media presence and spending a few minutes making comments, like on LinkedIn, what I would recommend in particular is to spend maybe 15 minutes a day on LinkedIn. And so what you want to do is look for, and then set a goal for yourself. So you might want to do a daily goal of make 3 comments on 3 different posts of people that are of significance, that are people are that are a target for you. Maybe send 2 invites per day to people that, again, are your target audience. So you could either do comments, likes, or shares. You want to do 3 of those, maybe one of each, 1 comment, 1 like, 1 share. You know, share a post out from somebody. Maybe do 2 invites and then 1, I don't know, something, you know, just kind of make yourself a short list that is very doable, that you could do in 15 minutes or less, that just gives you a chance to be present. That's more than enough for now. And I think that's plenty to keep you active enough on LinkedIn. If you are more interested in ramping that up, you could just change those numbers to maybe do 5 comments, likes, or shares, a mix of the 3. Maybe do 3 or 4 invites to a targeted audience. So what I don't want you to do is feel like, oh my gosh, I have to spend half my day on social media. Not true. I think that using it to do your research. So what I'm saying is that your activity should be about 15 minutes of your time right now, give or take. But if you're using LinkedIn to also prospect, then obviously you're going to spend a little bit more time there for that activity in particular. Maybe you're doing research, you're looking for those target companies. You're then diving in and looking at the people that work there to see if you can find the right connection, the right person to connect with, that kind of thing. So that's obviously going to, that's more of your marketing time and your marketing research time. So the actual activity, 15 minutes a day is plenty. Same thing on Facebook. If you want to spend, you know, maybe 10 minutes a day on Facebook, just looking for, same kind of thing, looking for people with certain titles. There's a lot more business going on Facebook, looking for groups to join maybe on Facebook. Same thing on LinkedIn, looking for groups to join that might have your audience, your target audience. LinkedIn in particular, I know, has a lot of professional type groups so that you could become a group. Let's say you're marketing yourself to attorneys. There's lots of groups that focus on attorneys as members. And maybe you join a couple of those groups and start networking within the groups and start sharing information there. So that could be part of your share. Maybe you find an article that you think, ooh, my target audience would really appreciate reading this article. I think they'd find it valuable. Then you could share it out into a group. Or you could share it individually. So maybe you've got a target, a person on LinkedIn, and you want to just send them that article and say, hey, I found this article. I thought it would be of help. I thought it would be of value to you. And send it off to them. So I would suggest that you limit your social media activity to a very manageable amount, because I really want you focusing on the warm emails, prospecting, and getting those other components of your business off the ground. And then as your business starts to get a little momentum, you get into that rhythm of warm email marketing, then perhaps you can start expanding the time that you spend on social media. But do it in small increments. Do it in smaller steps, because it can be social media can really suck you in and take up a lot of your time. And I don't want to see you doing that unless you're getting leads out of it, unless people are responding and it's part of your prospecting. So I hope that helps. And Eric, if it doesn't, I'm happy to bring you on if you have other questions, if you need more information than that. But thank you for that. Social media has been it's a piece of the puzzle, and figuring out just the right fit for you, I think that's one thing that just takes a little bit of time. All right, Eric, I went ahead and unmuted you.
Okay.
Clarification? Sure.
Yeah. Did you mention at one point that there's a lot of business going on Facebook? Because I had heard that LinkedIn is the place that's more business oriented.
For B2B, I think LinkedIn is the place. So for what we're focusing on, that we're calling on some of these bigger companies, LinkedIn is the place. So the I think B2C is probably more active on Facebook because they're looking for people like you and I who are just on Facebook doing other things, perhaps, and they want to get our attention. So there's a lot of business going on Facebook, but I think LinkedIn is a better platform, and especially initially, for you to be researching, finding people. I think it's a better source of information for you to find the right people to connect with, and find your targets and build your list of targets. So, but yes, there's a lot of business going on. Oh my goodness, on Facebook, but it is a slightly different kind. So I see more coaches, consultants, you know, those kinds of folks. I see more service provider folks, but different services, more like a B2C type of a business, is the kind of thing I see on Facebook.
Okay, that makes sense.
Great. Thanks. All right. Great. Well, I hope that's helpful. I hope that we have covered some good stuff for you folks today. As a matter of fact, I want to ask, we still have time to for more questions. If someone is thinking, yeah, I do want to ask a question, feel free to type it into the chat, Q, capital Q, and ask a question. If you don't have questions, tell me if there's anything that we've talked about today that was an important takeaway for you that really seemed to resonate and you found helpful. Always important for me to see what we've talked about, what's been of value to you. Capital T, and just let me know. Let us all know. Eric says focusing on companies sized 50 to 100 or 100 to 500 employees. I agree. That's a good sweet spot for most. Generally speaking, they're big enough to be sophisticated and want marketing and good marketing copy, but they may not have the internal resources to get it done. Might not have a team. So that's just a good place to start. And then each industry might be a little bit different, by the way, because each of you are focusing on a slightly different industry. So where that might be the case for Eric, it might not be the case for Karen, so to speak. Her companies might be just a little bigger than that. That are the sweet spot. So it might take you a little bit of exploration to find the right companies. Karen says, where to find companies and the social media info, especially LinkedIn, as a resource to search and post. Absolutely. LinkedIn is just an amazingly powerful tool and definitely would recommend that you spend, if you're going to spend time anywhere, spend time on LinkedIn and get to know it. Monica says, thinking more outside of the box. Absolutely. Deborah said, great info on the size of target markets and tips for LinkedIn research. Great. I'm glad that was helpful. And Jen says, having a consistent social media presence, spend a few minutes engaging, but not letting it become a distraction. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. It's so easy to jump on social media and then look up and realize, you know, an hour and a half's gone by and you didn't even know it. You're just busy. So that's why we suggest starting with setting actual numeric targets for yourself, like 3 comments, likes, or shares a day, just 3 a day. That's perfect. You know, go out there, make a comment, like something, share something, and then maybe 1 or 2 invites or, you know, those kinds of things. Maybe sending 1 or 2 follow-ups. Maybe that's part of your mix. And once you do that, you know, okay, good. I've been active on, you know, I've been active on LinkedIn or Facebook. But LinkedIn in particular, I think is a good place to put your energy. And that way you're really, really managing it. So it doesn't get out of hand on you. Great. Great, great. All right. And so tell me, share with us what your top action item is for the coming week or two. Again, most of you are in the program, in the B2B Launcher program, somewhere in that series of 8 different sections. I'm wondering, are you moving on, planning to move on to the next section? Is there some other milestone that you'd like to reach in the next week? Eric's is warm emails to those mid-sized companies. And definitely keep us posted. I can't wait to hear how that goes for you and what kind of response you get. Jen says submitting your website for review. So ready to move on. Congratulations. Lots of work there. Looking forward to seeing that. So good for you. Catherine says writing the web copy. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. Wonderful. So any other questions? Anybody else have any other questions? Deborah says, I've been working with a client in a totally different market, but you need to get your website up. Absolutely. Good for you. All right. Karen's going to work on the modules and do more research. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. So in the beginning, in this stage of getting your business off the ground, it's going to take a little bit of research time. And that definitely should be part of your marketing mix, is to spend time doing the research to make sure you're reaching out to the best targets possible. All right. Well, if no one else has questions or any other thing that they'd like to add, I think we're a little bit early, but we've had some great questions and some good discussion here today. So I hope it's been helpful for all of you. Thank you for being here. Thanks again. Thanks for being active on the call. And you guys have a great couple of weeks. We're heading into the month of May. I hope you're all very productive in the new months that's right around the corner here. So have a terrific week, and we'll see you all on Facebook.